Dive into the dynamic world of high school sports. Whether you're a seasoned athletic director, a newcomer to the field, or simply curious to learn more about this exciting profession, this podcast is your go-to resource for inspiration, education, and a deeper understanding of the game-changing decisions that shape the world of high school athletics. Welcome back to AD360. I'm Greg Vandermeid. We're super excited to bring a topic that came up in episode two to you today. So we figured last week as we were catching up, Scott, that emergency action plans are probably something that we might want to dive into a little bit further and give folks a full episode on it. So that's going to be the topic of today's conversation. As previously mentioned, I'm joined by my co-host, Scott Rosenberg. So Scott, how are you doing today? And what are your thoughts on emergency action plans?
Hey, man. All good. Happy Friday. First of all, spring season's here. I hope for lots of places in the country, they're actually outside. Pretty cold here in Jersey today. But inside or outside, it's important to have an emergency action plan. I guess I would simply say that it's just a way of being proactive instead of reactive to what can be some pretty catastrophic situations and trying to keep things to a minimum in terms of how bad they might get. Some states require them. Some insurance companies require them. Some school districts require them. But I would say that whether they're required or not, every athletic director in the country should create an emergency action plan with their staff and make sure that it's something that's not foreign to them, something that they practice, something that they think about, something that is at top of mind, so that, again, if there's an emergency, it's there. New Jersey, for example, has always been pretty proactive in this area. We have something called Janet's Law in New Jersey. That is a statute that actually requires a few different things. They have to have AEDs within what they call a quick jog or walk, 3-minute round trip from any single game practice that's taking place at high school sports. They have to have signage, have to have 5 people in every school building that are certified in AED and CPR as well. So it really depends on the state. But again, I would imagine that everybody should have something in place. I also think that there's a lot of things that you could even do within the school day. One thing that we did in my school that I thought was great, it was there before I got there, can't take credit, was we actually offered every single kid in the school through our health classes the ability to get AED and CPR certified. I know a lot of states have AED and CPR in their curriculum, but we actually offered the opportunity. I think it cost kids like $5 each if they actually wanted to get the paper and they actually wanted to get certified.
That's really interesting. I mean, like the thing that jumps out to me is that the Janet's Law, that was the name, correct? Janet's Law?
Yeah.
3-minute round trip. You know, that is something that is very proactive. And when you really think about it, when you're dealing with high school athletics, you've got venues all over campus and some of those campuses are pretty sprawling. So to have that 3-minute requirement, that's very proactive to say the very least. You know, like it's interesting to see that. And also give yourself some credit, you know, things that were in place before you, feel free to take that and say that you're the one that implemented it, because if your predecessor's gone, they can't dispute you, right?
I'm afraid some of my coaches are listening. I can't handle that. But I mean, listen, the truth is it was an unfunded mandate like many things across the country at the time. And we did have to scramble because I think that we wound up with about 14 portable AEDs and probably 10 or so that were attached to, I mean, they're portable, obviously, but literally outside at venues. So our coaches had to bring them with them wherever they went. If you were practicing off campus, if you went to a golf course, never really figured that one out, to be quite honest. You're playing golf, trying to figure out where you're 3 minutes central to any place if there's an emergency. But again, I think you just do the best you can. And I know working with other venues becomes important too if you're using facilities that don't necessarily belong to you or your school.
No, I think those are all great points. I mean, as we're diving in here to this episode, I mean, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't think of some of those that might be new to the profession, right? Some ADs that are maybe first time listeners to us and first time with their school and sitting in that chair. So just real briefly, Scott, give us kind of like a high overview for those that may not know. What is an EAP? You know, I think we've discussed a little bit as to why we need it, but what exactly entails an EAP? And honest, and a lot of folks are like, well, why exactly do we need that? You know, so if you give us some visibility there.
Probably skipped that as you mentioned it to me and questioned me before. It's a document, right? It's a document that is going to lay out everything that needs to happen if there's an emergency. So that usually includes pictures of your facility, where an AED might be located, what happens if somebody goes down, who calls 911, who gets the trainer, who runs and asks for help from somebody else, what should the rest of the team do while something is happening, who's the school doctor, what's the emergency, I mean, if it's not 911, who else can you call if it's maybe not a 911 call, but it's more like you got to get to the police, somebody like that. So it's a document that is a guide for what to do in case of emergency. I'll just throw in also, it could be lightning at a facility and what happens if there's lightning outside and where each team should go, home team, away team, home fans, away fans. So there's a lot that's involved in that document. The good news is for anybody listening, they don't have to reinvent the wheel. We're actually going to have a document available to people that we created, but also came from a lot of people smarter than us throughout the years. And I think that can be quite helpful as well.
No, and I appreciate the overview on that. I mean, essentially, it's a document that you need to have on hand for the unforeseen taking place. And honestly, hopefully it's a document that you never have to use. But ensuring that you have it in place, you've drilled it, just like you would any school emergency drill. You know, I mean, when I was in California, you never wanted an earthquake to happen during school hours, but you wanted to make sure you knew what to do in the event of one, right? Similarly said for athletics. And to your point also, it's not just like a catastrophic athletic injury. It could be lightning. It could be an environmental type of situation, whether that's a disgruntled fan or, God forbid, you know, an active shooter type situation, along with those catastrophic and or cardiac type events. You need to plan for all of those things and hope to God that you never have to use them, right?
Exactly. Plan for the worst, right? And hope for the best, as they say. And every state, I believe, has those drills that you have to take part in during the school day, as you mentioned, 2 per month, 3 per month, right? Lockdowns, all those kind of different things. I don't know that every school or every state requires that you do the same exact thing for after school. But again, there's a lot of people there at your facilities after school, and it doesn't make sense to me to not think about those things, practice those things as well.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, because like in all honesty, too, when you're looking at those extracurricular events, you not only have your student population that's going to be on site, you're going to have people that are not part of the campus population. And to be able to plan and make sure you have something in place to how to manage an emergency is as, if not more important from an athletic director's perspective, right?
Yes, sir. Hey, we were talking last episode or the first episode about trade shows, and I was saying, hey, I love the shiny new toys and I like going to the vendor areas to see what's new. I often see vendors at these type of events that are, they have products that may be helpful in planning for tough situations. So my question for you is, in your experience, what are some of those things that you can maybe purchase, have available to help in emergency type situations?
Fantastic question. You know, and it's an ever growing list, right? And you've got to try and figure out what you can consolidate into quote unquote a go bag, right? Like your emergency go bag. And you're going to want to have multiples of them, right? Because you're going to have different venues and different sites. I think first you touched on it earlier, AEDs. I mean, in this day and age, everyone should have an AED on campus. And if you're fortunate enough to have multiples, have them scattered throughout the campus or have portable ones that can go with you for those sports that take place offsite. So I'd say my number one thing that I'd want to put in there is going to be an AED. If I then had to put in another thing, I'd certainly want to be able to have maybe some two-way radios just in case, you know, you never know what's going to happen from that standpoint. First aid medical kits, you know, just having kind of the essentials on hand, right? In case something happens, you are equipped to do the best that you possibly can as a first responder to assist through whatever the emergency is that's taking place. But I'd say, you know, from that standpoint, AEDs are definitely going to be number one on my list. And then I would look at, you know, just communication tools, whether that's two-way radio or being able to have something to relay messages to individuals outside of the emergency area itself. And then obviously those first aid kits. What about yourself?
I mean, clearly I agree with all those things. I might throw in things like EpiPens. If
that's a good one.
There's allergies and things like that, and getting people trained. We always had to have a couple of people that were able to use those EpiPens on somebody else if necessary. Probably a little more controversial, but maybe being proactive. Thing like those Narcan shots. That's for the opioids that you can now get. The thing about the AEDs, also, they've come down so much in price. I can't imagine a school district not having those available, even if it's not mandated. I think that's a great thing you might consider fundraising or looking for donations for as an athletic department. I think your athletic trainer should always have one on them at all times. And again, we were to the point where we sent them on every bus, even for away games as well. So people had one, every team had one. And again, in a case of emergency, there's nothing that's going to help you more than that if somebody goes down with that type of issue.
No, I think that's those two that you just brought up. I mean, they're fantastic ones to have in there, you know, the EpiPen. And then also it's sad to say that it feels like a need, but in this day and age, the Narcan is not a bad one to have on site, whether that's for your campus population or an individual within the crowd itself, right? You know, just being prepared for the unexpected, because that's essentially what emergency action plans are, right? So
yes,
as we're talking through this and kind of like planning and how you go about creating an emergency action plan, I would imagine these are not decisions made in a silo where it's just an athletic director sitting there by themselves going, you know what, I think this is probably the best way of handling it, because there's so many different variables in place, right? So when you were going about and creating your EAPs on your campus, was it just yourself? Did you utilize other departments' insights, influences? Did you talk with, you know, local entities that were maybe off-site, maybe not a part of the campus, you know, local police or fire, anything like that?
Listen, I say this all the time, and it'll come up probably in a lot of our episodes moving forward. Utilize the talented people that you have access to, whether it's students, coworkers, community members. There are people that have more expertise in a lot of these different areas than you do, and you can't be an expert in all of them. So all those people you mentioned, like I think about, first of all, I put my athletic trainer in charge of it, passed the buck a little bit to my athletic trainer. We worked with our town recreation. Like if you're using fields or facilities that are not your own, you've got to work with all those different groups to make sure that things are in place at those facilities. Clearly, police, EMS are going to make a big difference. And again, you may have parents on in your community of kids in your programs that deal with these type of things all the time. Knowing those people, knowing their talents can be really helpful as well. So no chance working in a silo. We're not experts in this field as athletic directors. There's also courses you can take in this kind of stuff that I've seen at shows. And I think that you can utilize some expertise. I've seen people, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. I'll remember before the end, but you can get a certificate in kind of planning and emergency action plans. What about
no,
you,
that's right? Awesome. Yeah, no, I think that you are spot on with that, right? We are not experts in emergency management, right? As athletic directors, you need to be a jack of all trades, but a master of none, right? You know, you've got to have an idea of so many different areas, and emergency planning is one of them, but emergency planning is one of them that you probably should not be just trying to do on your own, because to your point, you've got a community behind you that's supporting your department, your campus community, your student athletes. Utilize them. You know, you want to make sure that you're having those conversations across multiple departments of what we're going to do when the unthought of happens, right? You know, when the unforeseen comes upon us, what are we going to do and how are we going to handle it, right? So you've got to coordinate within the departments themselves. So I'm right there with you. I think the police and EMS, those are certainly ones that you've got to engage, because then you have a full understanding of the information you're going to need to provide them if something like this happens. You know, well, hey, we're on the far field. Well, how do I get there? You know, and start having those conversations in advance rather than the emergency happens and you're not sure what to do.
Yeah, facilities and walkthroughs of facilities would just be another thought process. Think about gates. Are they wide enough for an ambulance to get through? Think about clearance. We built new ticket booths and we had new signage up at our facility. And one of the things we had to really think about was like the height of how we built the new signage, because we had to make sure an ambulance could get under what we were building. So there's just a lot that goes into it. And again, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Take what you can from your colleagues, what we can offer, and make it right for you. Customize it for your own specific needs.
I think that's exactly what you need to do. You know, so like when you're going through and you're looking to create those first draft emergency action plans, as you mentioned, you know, you're not trying to reinvent the wheel. You know, there's certainly resources out there. I know for myself, I was fortunate that my predecessor had put a pretty thorough document in place. You know, we expanded upon it as time went on. We modified it based upon, you know, changes to venues, or to your point, you know, maybe there was new construction that took place and maybe the entry points aren't what they used to be. And you've got to make those adjustments and put that into the document. But I also think too, you know, if you want to see other resources, I know the NFHS has a wealth of knowledge that they provide for schools. You had mentioned also, you know, talking with your colleagues. What do others in your area do? You know, what have they done for planning in advance? Does your district or school have specific guidelines you need to follow? I would certainly reach out to those and make sure that you're kind of aligning properly so that when, if or when something like this happens, you've dotted your I's and crossed your T's, right?
Always important. It's important just to keep everybody safe. It's important in the CYA kind of situation that unfortunately you have to make sure you're covered as well. So yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Specific trainings that you might recommend, whether it's like, again, getting certified in CPR, AED, first aid, ALICE training, that kind of stuff. What's on your mind there?
You know, I think, can we have a, all of the above and kind of check that box on it? We required all of our coaches to be CPR and AED certified. I'm sure many places across the country do. We also had additional folks that were trained, whether they were just event staff, just to, again, to your point, a CYA, if you will, but also making sure it's better to be overprepared than underprepared. So I think the CPR, AED, and then the first aid training is certainly paramount. We did also incorporate the ALICE training, not only just for campus staff, but also for those that were going to be on site after school, because you never know when something like that's going to take place and how are you going to react and how can you go about ensuring that you can do your best in a situation like that to protect the students on the campus. And then also another one that we did was our athletic trainer brought this to us, and it was a great one. It was a Stop the Bleed course, you know, and it was kind of in conjunction with like an ALICE type training of what you do in that type of situation. But there was tourniquet training that she had brought to us too, because that was valuable, because that could be any number of things. That could be a catastrophic injury on the field. That could be somebody cuts themselves on something, you know, and you might need to be able to do that. So I would definitely say those were some of the top trainings that we wanted to make sure that our staff had to be the best prepared. How about yourself?
Yeah, agreed. I think most states have requirements for their coaches to be eligible to coach, and they usually include things like concussion training, AED, CPR training. They don't usually include an emergency sort of planning. Be interesting, the NFHS puts out so many good courses, educational courses. I'm not sure that I've seen one specifically. I could be wrong for something like this, but it could be something they could put out. I think it's something even your older kids could model for your younger kids. Like, you could literally have your high school kids go down and help run a drill for your middle school teams, things like that. So I think there's a lot of possibilities to make sure, again, everybody's prepared, gets ready.
Yeah, exactly. In terms of the EAPs and getting them into the hands of those that need them, Did you have hard copies at your venues? How'd you go about distributing this information? Was it on a need-to-know basis? Did you kind of make sure that it was readily available for folks that were at a venue if they were managing it? How did you go about managing that element of it?
Yeah, it would be the people who were managing. It would be the coaches. Preseason meetings with coaches. These were topics for every single preseason meeting that I had with coaches and teams. They were also topics for every single preseason meeting I would have with game workers, event workers. So whether it was a site manager or other people working at events, we wanted to make sure it was clear to all of them. I can't say that there was a hard copy necessarily ready available. We always had an electronic copy available. Not always easy in an event of emergency. But again, if you're practicing, if you're making it clear top of mind at some point, hopefully they're not needing to refer to a hard copy. Those phone numbers should be put in every game worker's phone, like, you know, trainer's phone number, athletic director's phone number, school doctor, if it's something that they might be involved in. So I think there's ways to make sure people are prepared without necessarily having a hard copy. I think mine was like 95 pages or something like that. Hard to have with you at all times. Your thoughts there?
No, I would completely agree with you. I mean, because they do become pretty lengthy documents, and you're not going to have some laminated 50 to 100 page thing that people are going to be flipping through like some service manual in the event of an emergency. So
I'll be as big as you, man, if I'm carrying that thing around all day, every day. My biceps look like yours.
Yeah, I mean, like we were very similar where we had digital copies. Our athletic training team would put like laminated quick hitter ones, you know, like here's the fire department information. Here's, you know, campus security, like just some bullet points on a laminated one sheeter, if you will, that were readily available at the venues. But more so, it was along the lines of training in advance, educating people in advance, making sure that folks were armed with the proper information prior to anything like that ever happening, right?
Yep, absolutely. So talk about, I think we've hit on it probably in just about every single question we've asked and then every answer in some way, but practice. So talk to me about a team or a group practicing for something like this in advance of it possibly happening.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's important, you know, where you do some pre-rehearsals prior to the starts of season, right? You get your quote-unquote first responder team, the ones that are going to be on site, they're going to be helping to run the event, they're coaching the event, they're taking part of the event. I think that it's important to set aside some time and walk them through the process. You know, here's exactly how you're going to enter the athletic training room. Here's your key. If there's a code, here's the code, whatever that may be. Where are the AEDs located? Where are my first aid supplies? Who is going to be calling 911? Who is going to coordinate, you know, the entry points and talking people through things? Who's going to be the one that's actually responding to the injured individual or somebody that's having an emergency take place? Because the more you really kind of determine that in advance, when something does happen, it could be as simple as, Scott, you're looking at me going, Greg, you call 911. I'm going to have this coach go and run and grab the AED. Everybody knows what their role is. So I think that that's an imperative that you do a dry run through. I would definitely say that we did it at least preseason. I don't know if we did much more than that. And I certainly, as we talked through it, it's like, did we do enough? You know, should we have done more kind of on the fly? Hey, we got a mock drill right now. Go. How about yourself? When you were on campus, how did you handle the rehearsals, if you will?
Yes, and we required every team to do one per season. Clearly, it would make more sense to do it early and get that taken care of. Reminders are never a bad thing, but we would do one per team per season, and my athletic trainer would usually lead that and schedule those, plan those. So, if you've gone through it one time in a practice scenario, it's going to make it a heck of a lot better. If unfortunately you've got to do that in a real situation.
Yeah. And I think one term that we've said quite a bit today is athletic trainers and, you know, how imperative they are and the role that they play within the athletic environment, specifically the high school athletic environment. utilize them. They're fantastic resources. And in all honesty, I mean, I'm still amazed when I come across schools where they're like, oh, we don't have an athletic training program. Advocate as much as you possibly can, because those folks are going to be one of the greatest resources that your athletic department will have, not only just from a student wellness perspective, but also things like we're talking about today, you know, from an emergency action plan perspective. They have so much vast knowledge in terms of how to manage these types of things. Certainly something that I personally always feel the need to advocate for when I come across those folks, because in my own career, they have done so much for me when I was in a school or university setting. So definitely a great amount of information today, right?
The P in EAP is for planning. And so you need to do planning. I would say that you should do it for all the right reasons, to hopefully make somebody more comfortable, save a life. But in the end, if people aren't as concerned about those things, then they need to do it to cover their butts and to make sure, if God forbid there is an emergency, they can answer all the questions that are coming at them about how they planned to make the situation better and keep people safe.
And that's a really important note right there. You know, I mean, obviously, I think the lion's share of those that are going to be tuning in and listening to us this week are listening and trying to figure out the best way to protect those that they're working with. And for the very small population that may not hold that same thought process, a CYA, that is going to be the ultimate CYA, because if an emergency happens, you dang well know they're going to come back through and ask a ton of questions about what was done in advance to prepare for this.
Agreed.
Well, I think that's going to be a wrap on this episode. I don't think that the EAPs are necessarily the flashy topic that everyone was tuning in for, going like, oh, wow, I got to learn about EAPs today. But I think that it is one that athletic directors know the importance of. You know, it may not be as flashy as the name, image, likeness that I know you and I will be covering in some future episodes, but it certainly is one that's of great importance and one that athletic directors are always having to have conversations about and prepare for. So Scott, what about you? How do you think the conversation went?
Hopefully valuable. Timing is everything. Hopefully this was the right time to do it. And obviously we're just trying to provide some value and help people think about these things if they don't have the chance to think about them on their own. And I know that we're going to be providing a document that's available to people as a template. Can you mention that at all?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great one. In terms of the document itself, so if you did find our episode helpful today, we're going to have an EAP template that schools can use. You know, take it for inspiration purposes. You know, make your EAP your own, because obviously every campus is going to be unique in their needs. But if you go to the description of this episode, you'll see a downloadable link for an emergency action plan template. Use that as a starting jumping off point. You know, feel free to download that. You can make edits as needed, and just kind of use that as a document to get the process started.
Use the technology. My athletic trainer used just Google Earth for facilities, outside facilities, and literally think about that. How perfect to literally just grab some images from Google Earth and maybe document where the AED might be, where other specific locations are that may make a difference in case of emergency.
Absolutely. I mean, the more that you can provide in advance, the better. And I love the Google Earth element of it, because you can just highlight exactly where it is and people can see, rather than it being a diagram, it's an actual picture of the venue, right? And they'll have a better understanding where things are at. So, no,
you know,
certainly great information.
You know what just came to me? Of course, like when we're getting done here, but what about lightning detectors? Have you seen those?
Ooh,
there's like lightning,
yeah,
beacons on schools too that you can grab. So there's no shortage. I think that's the bottom line. There's no shortage of help that you can get, of ways that you can help keep people safe. And I think if you're trying to raise money or get donations, those tend to be fairly easy items that you can ask for, because everybody understands their importance.
Exactly. You know, I think that today was hopefully very informative for those that are tuning in and learning a little bit more about EAPs and how you can utilize them. If you liked what you heard today, stay tuned for future episodes. Make sure you follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts from. We certainly are looking forward to some upcoming episodes. So Scott, what are you thinking for our next upcoming ones? What do we want to put out there for the folks?
What do you think, man? I think we've got to start planning. Did we talk about senior nights? Did we talk about end of the year banquets? Those kind of things, just timeliness of those. At some point, like to talk about registration and figuring out the best way to have like people register for sports as this upcoming school, you know, the new school year will be starting, and trying to get ways for the community to sign up and get all the information that somebody might need to have. You?
Yeah, I think that those are all great ones. I mean, especially the banquets. Those were always ones where they're awesome when you're there, but all the planning that goes into it. Oh my goodness. That's an episode in itself of like, okay, what's your checklist for a banquet? Because if you don't get a banquet right, you're going to wake up the next morning, your inbox is going to be flooded by parents, you know? So certainly got a ton of information we can be covering in our upcoming episodes. We hope that you tune in for our next episodes that we'll be covering these topics. From AD360, I'm Greg Vandermeid.
Scott Rosenberg. Thanks, everyone.
Until next time, everyone, thank you for the time.